God, I ask that today that we would hear your words. You would have us think and ponder and contemplate. That we would hear your still, small voice. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So holiness. We are in a series, a call to holiness. Holiness set apart, connected to, yet unaffected by. I'm going to use the microphone now. Is that all right? Connected to, yet unaffected by. So, what do we do with that? We're learning about it. We're exploring it. But today it's, what are our obligations? What are our obligations as those who are set apart, connected to, yet unaffected by? And this week's lesson that I read, it has parts in there that seem, if not doable, at least appropriate to do. We all make mistakes. We all do it wrong. And there's some other parts in there. There you go. That's really difficult to understand why that's in there and what we do with it. There's some hard stuff, like verse 18. Slaves, accept the authority of your masters with all deference, not only to those who are kind and gentle, but also to those who are harsh. So what do you do with that? I've studied. I've heard preachers. I don't know that I've preached it, but slavery was a cultural reality. And I know that slavery was somewhat different than the slavery that our ancestors used and did, and that other cultures have used before. But nonetheless, it was slavery. It was a system where a person was forced into labor or forced into work, somewhat against their will. They wished they didn't have to do it that way, and they were stuck. So I don't want to go really deep here, but there's a couple places in the Bible that talk about slavery. But let me simply say my opinion on this. Any culture, then or now, or anywhere in between, that has allowed slavery or even accepted it as a cultural norm, has gotten it wrong. Pure and simple. And I'll leave it at that. Here's another difficult one, though, from verses 13 and 14. For the Lord's sake, accept the authority of every human institution, whether of the emperor as supreme or as governors, as sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to praise those who do right. And you can find similar words to this in Romans. Paul talked about this in Romans 13, verses 1 through 7. I don't think that the words there or the words here indicate this blind and unconditional acceptance of the way things are, whether they be from the government or any other source or some kind of status quo. When you look at Jesus' ministry here on earth, he was upsetting the status quo all the time. He was upsetting the governmental institutions all the time. He challenged authority and he made angry the people in power. When you read about the early church in Acts 17, there's more to it, but there's one place where you find early believers are being brought before the courts because they're turning the world upside down, serving another king named Jesus. And in the book of Revelation, pretty much the whole book is just shows disdain for the government of the time. Are we obligated as Christians to accept things like slavery and to accept oppressive governments? No. We're not. But here's some great stuff in there. Verse 15, for it is God's will that by doing right you should silence the ignorance of the foolish. As servants of God, live as free people, yet do not use your freedom as a pretext for evil. Honor everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. I leave out that part that says honor the emperor. I want to leave it at fear God. That's a statement. Fear God. Those are obligations that they may not make good business sense. Honor everyone. Don't use your freedom as a pretext for evil. Do right and you will silence the ignorance of the foolish. And they might not make sense sometimes in competition, but they make sense in God's neighborhood, because in God's neighborhood it is love God. love others. Well, listen, in Romans 12, 20 to 21, another thing from Paul. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Love the family of believers. Fear God. I love the way Paul puts it when he says that if you do stuff like this, it's going to heap burning coals on their heads. It's going to irritate them to no end. Keep doing good. Like the paradoxical commandments. If you are kind to people, they will be unkind back to you. Be kind anyway. If you help others, they won't thank you. They'll walk away and probably give you a sneer. Help others anyway. Honor everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. That makes sense in God's neighborhood, even if it doesn't always make sense everywhere else. And since everywhere else really is God's neighborhood, then of course it should make sense and does make sense wherever we are. I think we are obligated to as Christians, but are we wise enough to seek justice? To honor everyone. To love the family of believers. I think we are obligated to, but are we wise enough to care for those in need? I think we are obligated to, and here it gets sticky, but are we wise enough to wage peace instead of war? That becomes a really difficult one, especially in our culture today. And when is it right? When do we get on our high horse? When do we change from being kind and gentle and showing love to everyone in a way that people understand? And when do we get up on our high horse? And I think it's when we see people being oppressed, when we see people being excluded, when we see exploitation, abuse, degradation of others. And I think we're obligated to act there, and that's why it gets sticky. Because in times of peace or in times of war, we are obligated to look out for one another. And sometimes that takes directions that we don't want it to go, and then we debate as to whether we should have done that. But as Christians, we are still obligated to honor everyone, to love the family of believers, and to fear God. And it's not always easy to follow those when we're having debates about what the correct course of action is. Are we wise enough to wage peace instead of war? Through all of this, our obligations. We are ultimately obligated to follow two rules. How many of you know what the two rules are? The two rules. The rules that come from the Old Testament, and Jesus quoted them when asked, what are the two greatest commandments? The rules, the obligations that we have when we read from 1 Peter or anything else that is put in front of us from our Bibles, from our preachers, from our tradition, anything else goes right through these rules, through the lenses of these rules. They have to be seen through and measured by these two, and they are one, love God. It goes further on, but love God. And then the other, love one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. And to put it concisely, just right there, love one another. And who is one another? That's everyone. The two rules are two obligations. Love God, love one another. Those are the obligations of Christians. Let's pray. God, we do not always know the correct answers. We don't always act even when we do know the correct answers. Sometimes we follow our obligations and other times we don't. Help us to remember the two, to love you, to love one another. Help us to continue to seek you. Grant us forgiveness when we fail. Make us your people to live as Christians. Amen.